just got dyslexia, okay?
Dishonor on you! Dishonor on your cow!
Welcome, foolish mortals.
It is with deepest pride and greatest pleasure that we welcome you tonight.
The reference here is very obscure.
Welcome to the obscure world of Disney. You're listening to the Obscure Disney Podcast.
It's our belief that no detail is too small, no character cameo too short, and no quirk too strange to be celebrated.
And with new episodes every Tuesday and Thursday, why not get an annual pass wherever you get your podcast from, or find us at obscuredisneypodcast.com.
And see all of our fun patches at disneypatch.com. I didn't want to do it, Steve.
You didn't?
I didn't want to do it, but you made me do it.
I made you.
I'm just going to start out the podcast by saying everyone knows how I feel about these remakes of Disney movies. I think they are garbage.
And about a month after the new Lion King comes out, we decided to finally go see it in theaters.
Well, because we had been complaining about the lack of 2D animation.
Yeah.
And we thought, you know what? Everyone thinks that this new Lion King movie is phenomenal, looks great, totally a worthy predecessor to one of the best 2D animated movies of all time. Let's suck it up and go see it, right?
Yeah.
My reaction walking out of the theater is not good. I did not enjoy it.
I thought you were having a really fun time with the show, actually, and then we walked out of the theater and I said, so what do you think? And you said, it was not good.
No, I had a great time in the theater, mostly because it was just us.
Right, like, yeah, literally. I thought we were the only ones in there until near the end I could hear a kid playing down near the front, and I was like, oh, okay, there's somebody else in here.
Right, and, that's an interesting situation that I've not been in many times.
Especially in Atlanta. Like, there's always somebody in our theater with us.
Yeah, and especially for a very high-grossing Disney film.
Right.
To be alone in the theater, in a fairly large theater.
Right. Well, and even the theater that we went to only had a few select times showing for it. It was like five. And usually, if it's a big theater, they literally have 35, you know. But it is a month later. So I thought for sure nobody was liking this movie. That's totally my interpretation of it.
Yeah.
I was completely wrong.
Oh. Right. Well, your interpretation was not incorrect for me.
Okay.
I did not like this movie. But let's start with the things that are good about it.
Okay.
Let's start with that.
Yeah.
That's fair, right? The original Lion King, I enjoyed a great deal.
Yeah.
Watched it a lot because I had younger siblings that were at that age where they would watch things ad nauseum.
Yeah.
They specifically learned how to rewind VHS tapes specifically to watch Lion King multiple times.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah, one of those type of things.
Which is exactly the line I used at the end of the Muppet Treasure Island, and I said, okay, time to rewind.
Gotta get back to Blockbuster. So I like Lion King just fine.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen it enough times that legitimately I could recite the movie. You know, and so going into this, I knew that I wasn't going to be surprised, which is, you know,
sad.
You have to know going into a remake that you're not going to be surprised by things, right? But the recreation of the original opening was beautiful, you know.
Okay.
Yeah. I think the photorealistic animals that they made, plus the incredible music, it was literally a shot-for-shot remake to the point where they showed, like, the ants in focus with the zebras, and then they switched focus to the zebras.
Yeah.
Like, it's a full-on remake of that opening. And it still gave me chills. And personally, I think if they would have just done that, I would have been satisfied. I would have been like, that's a really cool thing to do. Just recreate the opening of The Lion King with photorealistic animals. I think that's awesome. Right?
Okay.
After that, it kind of slid backwards for me, just in general. I thought there were some really good performances. Seth Rogen and Billy Eichner both, I think, were super good as Timon and Pumbaa.
Yeah, that's definitely the saving grace to the whole movie. They were very come on, Beyonce, legit.
Beyonce?
For me, that was the only reason I really wanted to go see the movie at all.
Oh, it was for Beyonce?
Yeah. No, it was for all of the all-star cast, like John Oliver's in there and whatnot. I was like, they have such a legendary cast on this. That at least is going to be good. Because I was really worried that it was going to feel like you're watching the Animal Planet the whole time. And it was.
It
felt like that a lot. And yeah. I guess it's a whole new art form that's coming out, you know, being able to do what they did with it.
I guess.
I guess for that reason, it should definitely be appreciated.
I did love that they had James Earl Jones back.
Yeah, do you think they made him re-record all of those voices, or did they just
use... They were re-recorded, yeah.
Why? They could have just used the original.
They could have. They probably should have, but...
Because every word was taken right from the original script.
Almost.
They didn't change, like, nothing. Especially his lines. His lines were, like, minimal, you know?
Yeah, they were pretty close.
Yeah.
But that's really where my positives kind of stop for this movie. And that sounds harsh. I just was... the number one thing that you don't want to do is bore people.
Uh-huh.
And even having not seen the original for a good long time, I was consistently bored by this movie.
Yeah.
We all know the story. We all know the story beats. We all know the characters. And so it really was just kind of like, yeah, we know.
Uh-huh.
We know, you know, the whole time.
Yeah, I thought, you know, like the baby Simba at the beginning was cute enough. Like for some reason, the way that was portrayed on screen was really fun. I thought all the adults were somewhat lackluster, sort of, you know, completely.
Well, this is the problem that many people have had with the film is that the animals aren't very expressive. The animators really leaned really heavily into realism.
Yeah.
Which is great. It looks like real things. However, I mean, when Mufasa dies, I'm not giving spoiler alerts for this movie because, really. when Mufasa dies and Simba is quote-unquote crying over his dead father, they didn't even bother to, like, I know lions probably don't cry.
Mm-hmm.
I would think that that's probably not a thing, but come on, you couldn't even animate a couple of tears on this realistic lion.
Mm.
Like his expression just didn't change at all.
Right.
And I think that's the main problem that people are having is that you lose a lot of the humanity when you make them too real.
Yeah. And for me, it really pushes that point that we were talking about before about how we're losing animation. And I thought this is no clear interpretation or like no clear film makes this point for me that like this is what we loved about the original show is how animated it was and how pretty it was with the animation, how kind of over the top it was with a lot of those scenes and how cute and adorable they made so much of that. Mm-hmm. It didn't have any of that for me. So I didn't like that. We've talked to some people that have had kids as well. A lot of them have said about the same thing to us. The reviews from the critics, I think, are like, what was it? 52% on Rotten Tomatoes right now.
52% for the critics. Yeah.
All kind of saying about the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. For me, I was kind of going into it, giving it maybe like a D grade, like thinking it was going to be less than stellar. And that's right for me.
Yeah. Well, and what's disappointing too is that the moments where they had an opportunity to push it a little bit, I felt like was with the musical numbers.
Yeah.
You could have gone a little bit more fantasy with the musical numbers and gotten away with it, but they didn't. And they even downplayed a lot of the musical numbers.
Absolutely.
To the point where they weren't really musical numbers anymore.
Uh-huh.
Poor Scar gets... I mean, I think it was Idris Elba that was playing him.
Okay.
And he... I don't know that he's a singer. He doesn't seem to be based on this film. But it was more like a slam poem.
Yeah.
Than a musical number.
Yeah.
Whereas that musical number in the animated cartoon, you're just like, wow, this is epic, and he's evil, and he's fabulous about it, you know?
Right.
Like, It was so cool.
And with animation, you get to do a lot of those dramatic things, like a lot of the dramatic lighting and stuff that pops up where his face pops out of flowers and things, you know, stuff that doesn't happen in real life. All of that was missing from the show. There were no flowers in the whole entire show.
It was very drab.
Yeah.
And this is, again, one of my problems with the remakes is that they feel very desaturated. Like they've taken all the color out. Like they very purposefully tried to make it as unanimated as humanly possible.
Christopher Robin was the same way, that it was all monotone colored.
Right.
Feeling.
And it's like,
it probably wasn't, but compared to the original,
right,
it is.
And it's like, we already know life is depressing. We really don't need you to make our movies completely feel depressing, too.
Well, that's what we were saying on the way home. I was like, can't they just do a new show a lot like Monsters, Inc.? That's exactly what I'm looking for right now. Just a bunch of cuddly characters stealing some screams from kids, you know, where they find, they help a little girl out and she calls him Kitty.
Yeah. Well, and that was another problem that we had, is that there was no levity in this film.
Yeah.
The most comedy you got was out of Timon and Pumbaa.
And that was probably for 4 or 5 minutes of the whole show.
Right.
And then they put a fart joke in. Has Disney ever relied on an actual fart joke before?
That was disappointing.
Right.
I'm not a prude about it. You know, I'm not like, oh, clutch my pearls. But the comedy in the original came from them not saying it.
Right.
And just inferring that Pumbaa had an issue, right?
Yeah.
And in this one, they just let it go, and I was like, it's just not, it's so pedestrian, it's not clever,
right?
It's just kind of, oh yeah,
it's a little bit lazy, just to put just to leave it in there.
Lazy.
I did love, however, the Be Our Guest moment.
Yeah, that very strange moment where instead of dressing in drag and doing the hula, Timon sings the beginning of Be Our Guest to the hyenas, which is
dang, y'all.
Great.
It was hilarious.
Just great. And this is, again, why so many people like Timon and Pumbaa's characters in this, because they're the only ones that felt like they were having fun with it.
But I was thinking back, even when Whoopi Goldberg did the hyenas in the original version of it, they even brought a whole lot of comedy to the show.
Zazu was very funny in the original movie.
Hilarious.
And even Scar had some good funny lines in the first one.
Truly.
This one was very sad. It felt very sad and serious.
Right.
Not least of which, I don't want to rag too much on the voice actors, but I feel like they were lacking a little bit of conviction in some of their line reads.
Yeah. I don't think it's their fault that came across that way, though. I kind of almost blame the editing of it more in the fact that it felt very much like they were recording their lines separately, at separate times, in separate places. They weren't playing off of each other. They would leave gaps.
They probably
gaps.
Were.
We know that's how it's done.
Yeah.
But there was gaps left between the lines it was just literally silence. There was nothing piecing the two together.
Yeah.
So you could definitely tell that it was not organic, and then they had no musical instrumental behind it or anything, so it felt very almost like you were in a
sterile.
Yeah, it almost felt like you were in a community theater where they were just very rehearsed on what their two lines were going to be, and you know, it felt that way a lot for me. So I don't blame the actors, because they're legendary people.
Yeah,
all of them.
I mean, I guess not, but you could still
emote more.
There are certain lines that everybody knows from that movie
and knows how to say it properly.
And if you can't even muster up the same amount of passion that they had in the first one, come on now.
Right.
But all of this is just to say, really, it's not a bad movie. It's just disappointing and unnecessary, in my opinion.
Right. And to me, like, the fact when Lion King came out, it was such an epic journey that they took us through originally.
Yeah.
And then when they took it to Broadway, everybody was like, what? You can't do this on Broadway. And then that has become such
an epic. They killed it on Broadway.
Yeah, like it's such an epic undertaking that you're just like, oh, dang. And they kind of did the same thing with this now, too, that apparently it's a new form of animation type thing, right? Like it's CGI and whatever.
Yeah.
And it was supposed to be so epic and I feel like it's supposed to be epic and legendary, and I guess in technicality it might be, but I don't want to look back from 20 years from now and say, oh, this was the beginning of a new era. Like, ugh, no, please don't.
Well, and this is the problem that we're running into, is it was wildly successful. like ridiculously successful. It is now the 12th highest grossing film.
Yeah, and they're calling it Disney's highest profitable, or the highest grossing animated film of Disney's history now, they're calling it.
Ugh.
Which
I'm offended. So
I didn't see that coming. I didn't know who's been going to see this.
Yeah, at an estimated cost of $260 million, it's one of the most expensive films ever made up to this point.
That's unbelievable, yet completely believable.
And it made $1.3 billion.
That's crazy.
So this is my issue.
Is it the thing that no matter what Disney does, people are just going to go see it?
I hate to blame nostalgia, but really, that's what I feel like it is. It's people going, I loved The Lion King when I was 12. Let's go see this, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And if you haven't seen the original for a while, or if you're not like me, who unfortunately commits completely useless information to permanent memory, it could be enjoyable. You know, you're like, oh, yeah, it's kind of a, I kind of remember this. Oh, yeah, this is kind of fun. It could work that way. Mm. But for those of us that don't mind watching the animated films as adults, or those of us that have kids that have seen the animated version more recently, we kind of know that it's a little lifeless. You know, it's a little less exciting than its predecessor. Yeah. And the issue that I'm running into is that they keep making enough money that we're going to be stuck seeing more of these.
Right.
More and more and more and more of these. And even in the previews for this one, we ran into the new Mulan trailer.
Oh, yeah.
Which is vastly different. They've taken out all the mirth and all this music in Mulan and turned it into, it looks like a war movie.
Right.
Which is a bold choice, I guess.
What I love about that is I have not seen Mulan at all.
Right.
And so the fact that I'm purposely not going to watch it under any circumstance until this comes out, so it will be a brand new film for me, because I guess this is the only way I get to go see brand new films.
Yeah, there you go. And we'll see after, yeah, that'll be an interesting experiment to see if you can see the new Mulan and enjoy it, and then go back to the original Mulan and see if you like the original more or less.
Yeah, it'll be a fun experiment to do. Well,
yeah.
Coming to you in March, folks. This
is that when Mulan comes out, is March?
Yeah, apparently like March.
Oh, that's so soon.
Oh, does it? Is it really? Okay.
this is coming from someone that doesn't want any more live action remakes. So, yes, I feel like March is
in that fact.
Soon.
So, I know I want nothing more than, I guess, and we were talking about this as well. Coco was a new animation film that came out.
Sure.
And so you're like, okay, good. At least there's a couple new good things coming out, but, you know.
New meaning there's a new story. That's what you're referencing.
A new story, and a brand new, not with zero expectation of what the storyline's going to be.
And it did so well. This is the thing, is like, if you can look at this and see that the new stories, the new characters are giving you new things to work with, both Disney in the parks and out of the parks, it should show you that it's worth doing.
Yeah.
However, when the Lion King remake makes $1.3 billion with a B,
right,
$1 billion, it's hard to argue and say, give us new stuff. They're like, why?
Yeah.
We have all these pre-written scripts and, you know, decades of movies that we can just bring, you know?
Sure. And we read somewhere online that it could potentially be a way for them to continue to maintain copyright if they continue to release new, like that was somebody's speculation, right?
Right. It was a way to almost hold on to their copyrights of older things.
Indefinitely.
Yeah. I don't know if that's accurate or if that legally holds up. I have no idea if that's true or not. But it definitely sounds like something that they would be interested in, since Disney is always concerned about their copyrights.
Yeah.
Always.
If we have any copyright attorneys out there, let us know.
Yeah. For all of you copyright attorneys who are listening to Disney podcasts. I mean, I would think Disney's an interesting copyright
case study.
Case study.
Yeah, completely right.
So, overall, your experience with The Lion King.
The worst remake we've seen so far.
Ooh.
For me.
I would agree.
Yeah.
Well, no, I would not agree. I feel like Dumbo was worse. Mostly just because they took such a simple story and
stripped all the
mutilated it beyond recognition.
Took all Dumbo out of it, made it a two-hour movie. Yeah. I liked it.
I know you did, and you're crazy. This one is slightly above that because it basically was a shot-for-shot, line-for-line remake of the animated film.
Yeah.
So, if you liked the animated film, you'll like this just fine, I guess. You know,
as long as you don't like pretty things.
Yeah. Okay. Well, and as long as you don't mind...
Well, and by now everybody that's seen it saw it.
So. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Y'all have seen it.
So tell us what you guys thought of the show.
And as long as you don't mind feeling like you're watching a nature documentary with the Lion King playing in the next room.
Yeah.
Because here's my other issue. I'm just going to throw this one out there. Just audio-wise, I didn't feel like any of their lines were loud. Like,
right.
When they were yelling, it felt like they toned it down some.
Uh-huh.
And like when the lions were supposed to be like mad and roaring, I wanted the roars to like shake the theater. Like I wanted it to be a mm-hmm. real thing. And I heard more of whatever was going on in the next theater over than I heard in ours.
Yep.
I don't know if that was an our theater thing or if that was a Disney choice to try to like not scare the kids. I felt like they kind of muted the
yeah, there was also a couple scenes in there too that the character would be speaking and then they would say their next line and it felt like it was dubbed out of a completely different movie. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you heard that. It only happened like two or three times, but there were a few times that I was like, oh, that sounds like a re-record that they had to go back in and do at a later time in a later place. Like,
it's possible,
different technology. Yeah, completely,
totally possible.
I was like, oh, that felt like continuity issues. But
yeah, so unfortunately we are not big fans.
So depressed.
Yeah, I was also, and as much as I harp on the remakes, I want to go into these movies and enjoy them, and I'm really disappointed when I don't.
Yeah, this is the first one I was disappointed in.
Yeah,
the other ones I was like, oh, I was pleasantly surprised.
Yeah,
but
it's like Pumbaa always says, you gotta put your behind in your path.
Follow my perfectly sculpted two-finger point to the exit.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, rate, review us on your favorite podcast app. And if you didn't, help us do better by buying a patch at DisneyPatch.com.
Always be proud of what makes you unique. And we'll see you next time on the Obscure Disney Podcast.